like what he said
there.
I never forget, I may have said this year before, if I have, I don't mean to sound repetitious, but I come from a family that was a fighting family. We all had bad tempers, and before I got saved, I'd done a lot of fighting. I'm not proud of that. Never did win many, but I fought a few times anyway. And today, I would walk 400 miles before I'd fight today. But I had an uncle that my dad was he got in fights every time you turn around. My dad was in trouble with the law and fighting somewhere. But his brother was a very meek-like guy. He wouldn't hardly fight at all. If he did, he got whipped every time he fought. I'll never forget once, Brother Willis, he was outside of an old country store, not just a little ways from our house, and he got in a fight. And he stuttered. My uncle stuttered real bad, and he got bothered. He stuttered bad. And he got in a fight, and that guy just beat the daylights out of him. And after it was over, I called him Doc all the time. He tickled you to death. And I called him Doc all the time, and I said, "How'd it go, Doc?" He said, "I caught whooped pretty bad." He said, "But I got one good lick in." Got one good lick in. So maybe when it's over, maybe some of us could have got one good lick in. Sometimes I feel like when I walk out of a meeting or a church service, I feel like saying I caught whooped pretty bad. But I got one good lick in. Amen. So it's good to be here. I tell you, the preaching, it's just been absolutely, not only the preaching, but the presence of God just been absolutely over the top. It's been so real. Brother Wenzel's preached just tremendous. Brother Barry preached tremendous last night. And it's just been so good. I seen Brother Willis coming out of the door, out of the motel over there a while ago. And I said, "I don't know what I'm going to do." I said, "I'm going out here at Walmart and buying some coloring books. And we're just going to color this evening." Amen. About as spiritual as I could get, I think. But let's all stand. Thank you, Brother Robert, again, for the kindness for your church. I wish there's all here that I could say it to them personally. But for the church, your food you prepared, food just been over the top. It always is. It's just always excellent, and plenty of it, and good food, and your folks work and smile and serve with a smile, Please convey to them that I said that I really greatly appreciate what they've done. I don't take on a lot of camp meetings. I preach so many revivals. I don't preach many camp meetings. But I can't imagine the work that goes into something like this. We take it for granted. I can't imagine the labor and the work, the time, the preparation, the thought, the forethought. And then hurry up and get the dishes done. Get back in here for tonight. And it's a job, and it's a reward from God, I know, but I greatly thank you all for what you do, for every preacher that's here, for every one of your ministries, everything that you do for the Lord. Some years ago, a precious friend of mine, I said, "I wish you lived close to me, where men you could fellowship more." We lived miles and miles and miles apart. And this is what he said to me. He's dead now, and he said, that probably wouldn't be a good thing. He said, "You put us both together same time, every time we turn around, we'd probably be fighting," he said. And so God put us all in our own places that we couldn't get in each other's way. Amen. And so thank you for coming. In Luke 22, I declare it's all I can get on my heart. I just can't get nothing else. You know how it is when you come to a meeting. You've got a dozen or more thoughts you wish you could deal with, you want to deal with, things you wish you could say, and then it comes down to something simple usually. And I think it goes back to what I was preached yesterday, and Brother Robert talked about the pride issue. Never forget Dr. Seidler. I had this on his tape years ago, and Dr. Seidler said this. He said, after he'd been preaching almost 50 years, one Sunday morning he got up and God said, "I want you to preach on John 3:16 today." And he's Dr. Seidler said, "I thought, Lord, that's for him schoolboy preachers. Let them schoolboys preach on John 3:16. Can I preach on something else?" And he said the Lord put it in his heart, said, "You promised you would always obey me. Will you do it or not?" And he said, "I got up and preached on John 3:16 that day, Brother Mixon." And he said, "I tell you, I was like a young preacher again." He said, "I kicked up my heels and shouted all over that building." And so this is simple today. It may be more depth than we really live, I guess, but I really trust that it'll be a help. I pray that it'll be a help. Luke 22, verse number 31. Luke 22, verse 31. I was hoping y'all would sing about 2 hours and let me preach about 15 minutes. Luke 22, 31. And the Lord, of course, that's Jesus. And the Lord said, anytime the Lord says something, you better take notice. I think one of the, I'm slower than I usually am right now. I don't usually this slow, but I think one of the big hindrances to church people listening at preaching is they can't make a difference in what they're hearing being the Lord speaking and a man speaking. I think they most often think that this is just a man's, not in the, maybe in the sense of the way you preach, but this is just a man's opinion, just a man's thinking. But I try my best when I hear a man preach. I try to look beyond that man and believe that within and behind the voice of that man is an invisible God trying to say something to us. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. I want to preach out of verse 32, of course, both verses, but I want to lift as I can as a thought or a text or whatever you want to call it. I want to preach on when faith fails. I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Preach on when faith fails. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for everything that you've done in these days, these hours, these times together through singing and preaching and testimonies and all the things, God, that you've worked together, Lord, to make the meetings what they've been. We honor you and praise you and recognize you for it, for everything you've done. I pray now, Lord, that you'd help me here this evening for a few minutes, God, to say only what you want said. Lord, you know, God, what you're dealing with. You know all of my infirmities and weaknesses and inabilities. And yet, Lord, I'd love God to preach to bring perfect glory and honor to you this hour. And so I need your help. I can't do anything without you. I need your help. Please speak to every heart. Do a work in us, we pray. We'll praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I done told you what I really want to deal with for a moment. I want you to just listen to that maybe to the end on when faith fails. Faith's found 244 times in the New Testament. The word faithful is found 67 times. Believe is found 247 times. The English word for faith means to give credit to. It means to rely on, to depend on, to put confidence in. The Greek word for faith means to stay, to support, or a foundation. The Hebrew word for faith means simply to believe. It's the same exact word as we get the English word amen from. And we know that the Lord Jesus is called the way, the truth, and the life. But in Revelation 3:14, he called himself the amen. And so that's who he is. We do know this, there's only one faith in the Bible. We know that. One faith, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, so on. One God, one Father, who's through all in all, and so on. We know all of that. But I want you to look just a minute in Romans chapter number 1. I can just take my time here a few minutes and kind of lay the foundation. In Romans chapter number 1, We do know there's only one faith. But hear me well. This one faith, though it's the same word, pistis or pistos, in your Bible, this word is actually has three distinct manifestations or definitions or meaning of that word. And Paul seemingly explains this in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 5. He said, "By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith." I'll come back to that. To the faith. Then look at verse 8. He said, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith." So you've got the faith in verse 5. You've got your faith in verse 8. And then if you look in verse 12, he said, "That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and of me." Now I say this for a reason, I'll explain in a moment. But in verse 5, you've got what I call the principal faith, or the established faith, the fundamental, foundational core of our belief. That's what he's talking about in verse 5. "By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith." That is the foundational, established, principal faith that we believe. Now this is what Jude talked about in Jude verse 3 when he said, "The faith that is once delivered unto the saints." In other words, this faith can never change. It is the established principal elements of what we believe. They've been delivered once. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing can ever be taken from it. It is forever fundamentally established, thank God, in heaven. This is the faith that has been delivered. May I say secondly, quickly, this is the faith that must be defended. Paul said that we should earnestly contend for this faith. And then this established or principal faith is the faith that many are going to depart. Now listen at me closely. He said that the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. This is what he's talking about. The principal faith. The established faith. And many today have departed the established or the principal faith and went David heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, and left the faith. Amen. I want to make a statement right here, and I know y'all agree with me, but I'd make it if I thought you didn't. But it don't make no difference. But I believe this all my heart. When you depart the King James Bible, you departed the faith. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that. I don't know what you believe. I'm not trying to pick bones with anybody. I just believe that. But he's talking about the foundational core belief, the virgin birth, the blood atonement, scriptural baptism, the sinless life of Christ, salvation by the grace of God, and all of that. Those are the principal established faith that he's talking about in verse 5. I'm going somewhere with this. Verse 8. Not only we have the principal faith or the established faith in verse 5, but we have personal faith and experimental faith in verse 8. He said, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith." You got that? The faith in verse 5. Your faith is the personal faith in verse number 8. This is the faith that is demanded of us. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. This is the faith that there's degrees of. Now hear me out. There's no degrees of the principal faith. It's just one element, and it's all together, take it or leave it, as one bundle. But this personal faith, there are degrees of personal faith. You understand, you know that I'm better than I do, how the Lord said that, some got little faith, oh thou little faith, great faith. Abraham had strong faith, and so on. So this is the faith that's demanded. This is the faith that has degrees, and this is the faith that is demonstrated in Hebrews chapter number 11, the principal faith or the experimental faith. All right, look if you will in verse 12. Look, if you will, please, in verse number 12. He said that is that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith. All right, verse 5 is the principal or established faith. Verse 8 is the personal or experimental faith. And then in verse 12 is the precious or the partnership faith. It is the express faith, the thing that holds us together as a body of Christ, the faith that we share between each other, the belief that we all have in the same fundamental things of God. Now, I said all that for this reason. Go back a minute to Luke chapter 22 and what we're dealing with here. Luke chapter 22. And notice, I'm just really wanting to point this out. In chapter 22, verse 31, he said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Now here's my question. Which one of these elements of the faith is he talking about? Is he talking about the principal faith that's established, or the personal faith that is experimental, or the partnership faith that is expressed that holds us together? Well, I want to come to a message very quickly. But let me say this. He's not talking about the principal faith. I want to make a statement, and I'm not altogether sure it's 100% right, but I think as a principle it's probably right. If you disagree with me, Brother Wenzel said yesterday, I'm not trying to pick a fight with anybody. I'm just saying what I think in my own heart. I believe that it's impossible, once you've ever got saved, to deny the principles of the faith. I believe that. I don't know what my life might end. I have no intention of backsliding. I'm not entertaining the thought. I don't want to. I'm not thinking about it and all that. But I told my wife the other day about a man that had just left everything that he said he believed and said he's now an atheist, said he don't believe anything. I told my wife, I said, if he really doesn't believe anything right now, he never did believe anything before. You can't leave the principal faith. If God, listen, amen. The word faith is pistos, P-I-S-T-O-S, or pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. And it means this. It means conviction of truth. If God, the Holy Ghost, has ever convicted you of truth, you will never. You might backslide. You might get out of fellowship with God. You might go off into sin further than you think you ever could. But I don't think I could ever say, I don't believe there's a God. I don't think I could ever say, I don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. You know why? Because one day, thank God, it wasn't the preacher's voice that convicted me of that truth. It was the Spirit of God that put that faith inside my soul. So he's not talking about principal faith. He's not saying, Simon, he's not saying that your principal faith is going to fail. In other words, you're going to quit believing in God. You're going to quit believing in my lordship. You're going to quit believing in my virgin birth. You're going to quit believing in who I am and what I am. He's not saying, Simon, you're going to quit believing in the principal or the established faith. Well, maybe he's talking about the partnership faith. Now, I want you to give me a little leeway here with what I'm about to say. I don't think he's talking about this mutual faith. This faith that keeps people that believe alike united together. I know some people, I know a fellow right now that actually got called at church. I licensed him, I ordained him. He pastored a little while. He out of the will of God right now, and I'm sorry to say that, but he's out of the will of God right now. And I was talking to him a little bit back, and I was calling him by name. I won't call him by name here, but and I was calling him by name, and he began to cry. And I said, Jeff, what are you crying about? And he said, Preacher, you've quit calling me brother. That might not mean much to you. He said, Preacher, you quit calling me brother. He's out of the will of God. But even though he's out of the will of God, we still have a mutual connection. And so he's not saying, that's Peter, I'm afraid your principal faith, I'm afraid your partnership faith is going to die on you. He said, what I'm afraid is that your personal faith. I'm afraid that your personal faith is going to fail on you. Now, help me, Lord. I don't know how much I want to deal with here. Now, there's some people sitting here, no doubt, that's probably as arrogant as I was some years ago before I come and got a hold of this message. And that's to believe this, that my faith can never fail. I don't think my faith could ever fail. I really don't know how much of this I want to deal with. But here's what I want to ask you this evening. How important is your faith? We could talk about the prominence of faith. How important is faith? I've got 27 things, I think, wrote down here of how important your faith is. You get saved by faith. I'm not going to give you the verses. Christ dwells in your heart by faith. You please God through faith. 2 Corinthians 1:24 said, by faith we stand. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith. Romans 1:17, we live by faith. And Romans 5:2, we have access to grace by faith. In 1 Peter 5:8 and 9, we resist Satan by faith. In Ephesians 6:16, we quench the fiery darts of the wicked by faith. We move mountains by faith. The shield of faith protects our heart. I think here's a good one. Hebrews 4:1 and 2, let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into the rest, any of you seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed faith. I believe it's the reason we preach our lungs out and people don't get no help. What we're preaching is not being mixed with faith. Say another word or two. We draw nigh to God, Hebrews 10:22, by faith. We understand, Hebrews 11:2, by faith. We have built up ourselves on our most holy faith. We inherit the promises, Hebrews 6:12, by faith. We keep from making shipwreck, 1 Timothy 1:19, by holding faith. Amen. And so on and so on and so on and so on. We could go. What I'm trying to say is this. Our faith is not a tributary to the stream. It's the main stream. Y'all getting off quiet on me. It's not one of the feeder roots of your Christianity. It's the tap root. Your faith is the taproot, help me God, that feeds every other piece of your Christianity. You get to what I'm saying? Now, so what Jesus is saying to Peter is your faith is about to fail. Amen. I promise you I'm junking a lot of this. I haven't preached this in 17 years. God the Holy Ghost, when Barry was preaching last night, God kept tapping it in my heart. And I just dug it out a while ago and went back to the room. And had it in 17 years. I've got it in 2005. I preached it in Chattanooga. And I want to just deal with these words just a minute. Look what he said in verse 31. Simon, Simon. I thought he'd done lost that name. John 1:42, Jesus said your name's not going to mean more be called Simon or Cephas. Or Peter. He said from now on, you're going to be called Cephas. But here's Jesus pulling back Peter's carnality. his old name again, and he said, Simon, Simon. And the word Simon means vacillating, shifty, unpredictable, unstable. He said, hey, Mr. Unstable. Hey, Mr. Shifty. Hey, Mr. Vacillating. Hey, Mr. Unpredictable. Behold. Oh, we got a long way to go. Behold. Oh, you say, what's interesting about that word? It means to have attention called to something so strongly that you stop and you look at it by taking your eyes off of everything else. Now I want to tell you something, friend. Listen to me this evening. When Jesus Christ says, behold, you better stop. And you better look at this, what I'm saying to you. I'm calling your attention to it. You better get your mind off of everything else and get your mind on what I'm saying. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan, your enemy, your avowed adversary, hath desired. Will y'all stay with me, please? Don't die on me out there. Somebody help me out there. This word desired is a strong word. It's the word exactio. And it means out. The EX means out. And the TO means to require or to demand. He said, Simon, I want you to understand something. Satan has been appearing before me, amen, and he's been demanding that I can take you out. The accuser of the brethren has been coming before the Lord. And what he's been looking at, if I can get ahead of myself, he's already been caught up in pride in Matthew chapter number 18. Amen. And the devil's looking at him and he's saying, the Lord said to Peter, he said, Peter, Simon, Simon, you better stop and listen at me. He said, the devil, Satan, is on your trail and he's wanting to take you out. I mean, I question preaching this evening, but I could not get it off my heart. It means literally to claim back, to take back, to require somebody to deliver them up. He said, Satan wants me to deliver you up. Look at another word just a minute. To have you. I want to call your attention to this because I've got too far to go. Oh, my soul. Look. I'm a King James Bible, and you know that, but I want you to call something to your attention. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired in italics to have you. Two halves in italics. That he may sift you in italics as wheat. He said this word, I'll make sense out of that in a minute. But he means to have, means to get his hands on you and take control of you. Y'all listening to me? Satan wants to get his hands on you. That he may control you. And then the word sift. And it means to separate. It means to separate the bad from the good or the unwanted from the wanted. But the root meaning of this, please hear me, folks. The root meaning of this word sieth means literally to shoot full of holes. He's wanting to shoot you full of holes. He's wanting to get his hands on you. He's wanting you to turn back. He's wanting to take charge of you and cause you to turn back and sift you out. Now look at this word, more word. And then I'll move to what I really want to say. He said, but I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And that word fail is the word exlipio. And it means, listen at me. Are y'all listening to me? Off quiet. I hope you listen to me. This word fail means, Brother Wenzel, to leave. He said, I'm praying that your faith don't take a leave. It means to become absent. It means literally to be inadequate. to be destitute or lacking. I'm praying that your faith don't lose strength and become weak and fade away and stop functioning. You say, preacher, my faith could never stop functioning. I could never lose faith. We talked about the prominence of faith, of an unfailing faith. But listen at me closely. There's the possibility of a failing faith. Now, some years ago, even when I got this message, when God dealt with me every thing I was going through, since that day, I've understood it even more. Brother Barry, can I use you just a minute? I heard you preaching the other day. Where was we at? I don't remember right at the minute. And you was preaching about your dad and your mother both dying within a year's time. That's where it was. I was preaching together in a missions board meeting. That's where it was at. And that's all I wanted, just that for a minute. That's all I wanted. And now, I know y'all have heard me tell this story before, and you probably don't want to hear it. You probably don't, and I really don't want to tell it. But after I prayed 35 years for my daddy to get saved, and he didn't get saved, and he fell dead with a heart attack in a hospital room, there was time that my faith took a leave. The principal faith never died. I still believed everything I ever believed about the Word of God and the truth of God. My partnership faith never died. I went on the church, and through the encouragement of God's people and being in church with the people of God, having a mutual faith, their mutual faith encouraged me. But what died, what took a leave, what got weak, what failed, was my personal faith. And he said, Simon, I'm trying to tell you that there is a possibility that your personal faith can take a leave. You can be so tried. You tell me some things a while ago, tears streaming down your face as you was talking to me. Everything that you've ever stood for, believed in, everything that you've ever done and tried to hold up, your faith gets so weak. It gets so weak. There's a possibility. Some of you may be going through some of that today. I'm thinking of a preacher whose son come out of the closet and went full blown into the gay scene. He told me sometime back, he said, preacher, I don't even know what to believe anymore. He said, I raised that boy right. He said, I don't even know what to believe. You know the preacher I'm talking about. I won't call him by name. Dear friend, he's dead now. Confided in me a few years ago. He said, preacher, I got so bad here a while back. He called me one day and he said, preacher, I got so bad here a while back. He said, I went deer hunting and told my wife I was going deer hunting. And I climbed up in a tree, and I done had it all made up in my mind. I was going to shoot myself with my high-powered rifle. A man, if I call his name, you'd be surprised. He said I was going to shoot myself with a high-powered rifle and let the gun fall down out of a tree and make it look like it was an accident. You say, I could never get that bad. I'd never get that bad. I'm just bearing my heart to you a minute. Things I don't want to even say, but I'm just bearing my heart to you. When 42 people got up and walked off and left me in 1998 in a meeting where we were shouting the house down, and I didn't even realize it, 42 was walking out the door while the rest of us were shouting. That week, I about had a nervous breakdown. I went to a mountain. I found an old place way back up in the mountain. About 400 foot drop off where they'd quarried out in stone many years before. And I stood and looked down at it, and the devil said, why don't you just jump? If you think that so much trouble can't come to your home and your life and your church, that your faith may, hey, Jesus is not talking to a schoolboy preacher. He's talking to Simon Peter. And if we'd be honest, there's been times that every one of us, faith seemingly took flight. There's the prominence of our faith. There's the possibility of our faith. Let me just say this. Oh, I'd like to say a whole lot more, but I'm glad you can't sink it. It's like styrofoam. You can't sink it. It's like a big tight elastic band that the further you stretch it, it's got a hold over here and it's got a hold over here. And the further you stretch it, the more it pulls back to the source that's pulling against it. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, real true faith in God will never really die. You know why? Because there's one, thank God, that will see to it that it's refired and it's refed and it's revived and it's re-energized. And God gets a hold of it and God won't let it die. A lot could be said, but let me skip most of this. Here's a prominence or the importance of an unfailing faith. There's a possibilities of an unfailing faith or a failing faith. Listen closely. There's the potential of a failed faith. I want you to look at your text real closely. Look at your text real closely. Simon, Simon, vacillating, shifty, oh shifty. Satan, your adversary, hath desired to have you. He's wanting to sift you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I pray, look at that verse 31 again. Satan has desired to have you. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar by any means, and I don't even know what all that means. But I know this, I can read a little bit. Hear me well. Please hear me well. Brother Wesley, the Lord tagged my heart on this while ago sitting over here. Really wanted me to deal with this right here. That first you, that he may have you, in the Greek is plural. It's plural. And what it really says would say in our mountain vernacular, it would say that he may have yous. Or he may have you and Zal. Y'all ever heard that statement? He may have you and Zal. I'm putting y'all to sleep. I'm not trying to, but some of you are. He may have you and Zal. I got to think about that, and I thought, what's he saying? He looks at Peter, and he says, Joy, Satan's desired to have you and Zal. He's talking to one man, but he's called one man many men. He said he's wanting to sift you and Zal. Brother Mixon, I want to use you just a minute. Come here a minute. Y'all ain't in a big hurry, are you? Come here a minute, Brother Mixon. Brother Mixon's been my friend. I've been preaching for him about every year, and he got such a friendly bunch of people. I mean that. If he had a friendly pastor, that'd really be good shape.
Yeah, it would.
And he's my buddy. Now listen to me just a minute. He said to one man, Satan has desired to have you and Zal. So he's one man. He's wanting to sift you. He's wanting to sift you, Jonathan Mixon, you. He's wanting to shoot you full of holes and cause your faith to fail. Now, wait a minute. He's not one man. Miss Judy, would you stand just a minute? Not only is he an individual, he's also a husband. And so if he can sift him, there's a good possibility that he may be able to sift her. Because he's more than one. But wait a minute. He's not just two. He's also a father. You got what, four kids? Six kids. So there's six more people there. There's a good possibility that if he can sift Brother Mixon, he may be able to sift Miss Judy. And if he sift Miss Judy and sift Brother Mixon, there's a very good possibility that he'll sift one or more of his children by sifting him. Y'all listening? Brother Jones, your boy stood this morning and gave such a wonderful testimony. There's a good possibility that if he can sift you, he may sift them boys. I'm not in a hurry here now. But wait a minute. He's not just one, and he's not just two, and he's not just six more added onto that. There's some daughter-in-laws and son-in-laws in there. Might be able to sift them too. But wait a minute. You're a grandpa, aren't you? There's a good possibility that if he can sift him, he may be able to sift some of them grandchildren. He's desired to have you-uns. He's not just got his eyes on you, preacher. He's got his eyes on your wife, too. And he's got his eyes on your young'uns, too. And he's got his eyes on his grandchildren. And I think maybe your great-grandpa?
Not yet.
Not yet. All right. Just to wish him. Are y'all following me? But wait a minute. We ain't done yet. You got another. You're another you. You're a pastor. And it's a very good possibility, Brother Barry. Very good possibility that if he sifts you, he may sift Ben. And he may sift this young man. And he may sift Roxanne. Just because he sift you, I'll guarantee you, you will not go down by yourself. He will not take you down by yourself. Simon, Simon, Satan is desired to have you'uns all. But wait a minute. There's another you. Aren't you the principal of a Christian school? He may sift your school. Do you think I'm crazy? Let me tell you an experience that happened to my pastor. My pastor pastored a church. Just stand there just a minute. Brother Wenzel, my pastor pastored a church in Yuma, Virginia. A piano player was 72 years old, had played the piano there for years and years and years. She got in mind she was going to have an affair at 72 years old. She left her husband, had an affair. She had 20-something kids, grandkids, in-laws in that church. When grandma got out one Sunday, her daughter took the place playing the piano, and her husband got out of the will of God. The little boy was coming up the street one Sunday afternoon before church riding a bicycle and heard a shot, and her husband got off to the side down the hall and took a .308 high-powered rifle and beat it down on her. And blew the top of her head off. And the little boy found it. And then he turned the gun and blew his own head off. I'm not making this up. In less than 2 years, every single child and grandchild she had got out of church. Satan had sifted one person. You're a man. Your life is more important than you'll ever know. Amen. Thank you. You can sit down. Satan has desired to have you-uns all that he may shoot you full of holes. That's the potential of a failing faith. There's a power over. Let me back up. There's the pains of a failed faith. Where do you find Peter later on in the story? You all know it. Weeping, bitter tears. The pain of a failed faith. The man that married my wife and I loved God. He had God all over him. He was one of the tenderest men I've ever met in my life. We buried him last year. His wife committed adultery. They ended up divorced, and long story. he got out of the will of God and had a daughter, had three kids. His oldest girl's named Kim. And then one day, Harry told Kim, Harry's still out of the will of God, and Harry told Kim she was shacked up with a boy. And Harry told Kim, honey, you ought not be doing that. And this is what she said to him. She said, what business is it any of yours, preacher? She mocked what he once was. I'd rather die. I'd rather die than have somebody to mock what I once stood for. There's going to be a lot of tears right here. Oh, we stand at the judgment seat of Christ. The tears that's going to flow because we allowed the devil to steal our faith. The pain of a failed faith. We could talk, though I will not, about the product or products of a failed faith. There's the power over a failed faith. What's the power over the failed faith? Simon, Simon, Satan's desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you. He didn't say, I will pray for you. He had done you where Simon was going. He had done, looked it all out, and he saw Simon lose his faith. He saw Simon grow weak. He saw Simon get ashamed of his failure. He done seen Simon deny him in the garden. Before they went to Calvary, that night of the betrayal, he done seen Simon deny him. He saw Simon, you can believe this or not, he saw Simon failing. And if it hadn't been for the intercessory ministry of the great high priest sitting at the right hand of God, so to speak, he would have failed. He said, the only thing going to keep you from sinking, thank God, is I'm going to be praying for you. Amen. I wonder how many times he could say, Buster, Buster. Amen. Satan had desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But thank God, I prayed for you. I've held you up. I've presented your lowness. I've submitted your weakness. I've submitted your hurt unto the Father. Thank God for the ministry of the great high priest that's sitting there interceding for us right now. That's all's kept you going this long. It's all's kept you going. I'm glad I got one on earth that helpeth my infirmities. We know not what we ought to pray for as we should, but there's one, thank God, the Holy Ghost of God, that helpeth our infirmities. That word helpeth means to get the other end. What it literally means. He, thank God, when it gets weak, he'll come along and get the other end. Every once in a while, me and my wife starts moving a piece of furniture, and we start moving it. Most of the time, I'll choke up on it, and I'll get a little more than the sin. I'll get up about half of it, and she'll get the other end. Boy, aren't you glad? Thank God the Holy Ghost don't get in the other end and help you a little bit. He chokes up on it. Amen, thank God. And he helpeth. He helpeth. He helpeth. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmity. All points tempted just as we are, yet without sin. He let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. We may obtain mercy and find grace to help. Can y'all give me just a minute? Acts 27, when Paul went on that ship and the ship got broken, the Bible said they used helps. You ever catch that? They used helps. Look up that word. What'd you say? They frap it. Y'all know how many knows what that means, frapping? It's a sailor's term. When the ship's about broken in the middle and she's about to come apart or anything else, They'd take a rope or a chain. They'd swim up under the boat. They'd hand it off to a guy on this side. He'd bring it across. And then it'd swim back under. And they wrapped it, or the term would be they frapped it. And only things holding it together to keep it from falling plumb apart. Thank God's the frapping. Amen. I'm glad, praise God, about the time you think you're going down and your faith's about to fail, the grace of God begins to frap you. Amen. He begins to wrap you up and pull you up tight and draw some knots in the weak points of your life, and you make it on the shore someday because of the frapping of grace. Amen. Let me give you the last point. There's the prominence of an unfailing faith. There's the possibilities of a failed faith. There's the potential of a failed faith. There's the power of a failing faith. There's the pain of a failed faith. But listen to this and I'm done. There's the pinnacle. The pinnacle of a failed faith. What is it? It's verse 32. But I prayed for thee. Thank God that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. The pinnacle of that thing is when it was all over and done. God's going to use your experience to strengthen somebody else. Somebody else is going to stand and say, you know, I went through a time I thought I was going to die. And I thought I was going down for the last time. And I thought it was all over. But somehow, in a way I don't even understand, I went to a little camp meeting or walked into church on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night, or revival night. Or maybe I just walked in that little place of prayer one night and just sat down in the dark and began to say, Jesus, you got to help me now. And he got me through it. I don't know how, but he got me through it. I converted. I turned around. I was heading the wrong way. But I converted. I'm not talking about the conversion of a sinner either. I'm talking about right in the middle of the road of life. Sometimes your mind gets headed the wrong way. But then something that's probably that intercessory work that we ain't even seeing knowing about, we get converted. Then a preacher gets up and tells about his story, and an old saint gets up and tells their story, and somebody else gets up and tells where I turned the concrete truck over and about killed me. I told Brother Jones this morning, this honestly happened. This ain't a joke. Down in Harriman, Tennessee, not Harriman, but Oliver Springs, Tennessee once. It broke out, a meeting broke out, people testifying what God had done for them, everybody telling what the Lord had done for them. People all over the crowd stood up and told what the Lord had done for them. There was a guy there, his last name was Jones. I didn't make up. His last name was Jones. And everybody stood. Something about a year or two before that, Brother Jones, lightning struck him. About killed? Left. He got out of the will of God, lightning struck him. Yeah, really. And it left his mouth turned like this. And the pastor said, Brother Jones, won't you stand and tell what God done for you? He stood up and said, you're like a kill me, that's what he done. You're like a kill me. That's what he done. And somebody else got out of the will of God, and God liked to kill them. And then they testified about it. And somebody sitting in the crowd said, oh, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go through that. And then somebody else stands. I thought, preacher, when I went through that, my dad, I thought I was the only person in the whole world ever going through it until I heard you tell about how hurt you was and your dad and your mother both died. And I'm not glad of that. But that story helped me that day. It was another brother whose faith had about failed. But God strengthened. And you told and strengthened me. Keith Voiles. I'm about done. Everybody know Keith Voiles here? Everybody know Keith Voiles? I was preaching for David Young over at Sweet Home Baptist Church. Keith was in the meeting. I was preaching. Week's revival. We sat down in fellowship hall after a meal, after a meeting one night, I think it was on Thursday night. And I began to tell him about my dad dying. And I told him how that John the Baptist, you know, Jesus left him in the prison. And he said, blessed are they that's unoffended in me. And I preached a message on blessed is the unoffended. I'm about done here. And I sat there and told him all about how what I went through when my dad died and how hurt I was. And I even said to this, I said, preacher, I don't even know why I'm telling you this. He said, preacher, just talk on. It's helping me. Somehow it's helping me. That was in April. That was in April. In July, little Jack went to get the mail. And a car took him out and killed him. He called me the next day. He said, preacher, please tell me that story again about Jesus leaving John the Baptist and blessed is the unoffended in me. He said, it didn't make much sense that night. He said, but I know now why God had you tell me that. And now he's preaching the same message better than I could ever preach it. There's some people sitting right here tonight. You may think that you are unaffected by what I'm preaching, but you don't know. You don't know what tomorrow might hold for you. How the devil will cut your legs out from under you. And all you've got to stand on, your personal faith's about gone. But thank God you've got the principal faith. And you've got the partnership faith. We can come together. We can encourage each other for the mutual faith. We can read the Bible and read about the principles of the fundamentals of the faith. And the principal faith, that partnership faith, encourages our personal faith. And so we're able to strengthen somebody else that's going through what we're going through. Let's all stand. Are you going through something today? Is your heart breaking? Someone come to the piano, Brother Robert's coming. Are you going through something today that you don't understand? You don't understand.